God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation this morning is recorded in Mark chapter 1, previously read. Tell me, have you ever thought to yourself, man, I am not going to get it all done? You start the day with this whole list of things that you just got to get done, and then the phone rings and somebody needs some advice, and you know, you've got emails that you've got to respond to, and then somebody stops by your office and gives you a project to do, and then the internet goes down, and then your kids need some attention, and you get to the end of the day and you go, man, where did the time go? I don't think I got anything on my list done. I'm wondering if I'm really doing what I am supposed to be doing. If you've ever felt that way, and who hasn't, you're not alone. 2,000 years ago, Jesus faced a similar situation. As he considered the mission that his Father had given him to accomplish. In a sense, it was the Father's to-do list. And how Jesus handled that list, how he balanced the urgent needs of those around him with their eternal needs, things that were urgent but maybe not important, as he focused on the big picture, his true mission, he equips us to do the same in our lives. Today we turn to Mark chapter 1, where Jesus offers us what we might refer to as a lesson in mission management. We see, first of all, that Jesus served the earthly needs of many, but more importantly, he solved the eternal needs of all. Our text picks up early on in Jesus' earthly ministry. He's called his disciples, and now he's starting to go around to the different synagogues teaching and healing people. And it's really that second component that attracts a lot of attention. Jesus' popularity goes to the roof. Everybody wants to see him. And if when you think about it, in that time and day where there were no hospitals, no pharmacies, no rehab facilities, if you were disabled, if you were sick, you might just have to suffer with that for the rest of your life. And so when this miracle worker comes to town, is it any wonder that everybody wants to see him? In fact, isn't that what happens here in our text? That evening after sunset, this was a Sabbath day, so after the travel restrictions were lifted, then the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door of the house where he was staying. Can you imagine this throng of people crying out for Jesus' attention? You think you got a long to-do list? How about this unending line of people who are crying out to Jesus for attention? And recognize this wasn't the only time this happened. A couple chapters later, we read, Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. People oftentimes just clamored around Jesus, pushed up against him, tried to touch his garment for healing. In fact, Scripture says that on one occasion, the crowds almost crushed him. Now put yourself in Jesus' sandals. As a true human being, can you imagine the emotional burden this would have put on Jesus to see all these hurting people, people with diseases, people who are paralyzed, who have epilepsy, leprosy, blind and deaf and mute? You talk about a to-do list. There they are. And yet, Jesus, time and again, heals them. He provides. hearts for their earthly needs. The question is, why? I mean, of all the things that Jesus could have been doing, why did he take time to restore people to physical health? Two reasons. Because he could, and because he cared. As the Son of God, who has already created the universe, he can do anything he wants to do. With his touch, with his voice, he can make the lame walk, and the blind see, and even the dead come back to life. Jesus himself said, with God, all things are possible. And yet Jesus' healing activity was not only an expression of his power, it was an expression of his compassion. Think about how many times scriptures make statements like this. When Jesus saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Or when Jesus was confronted by those two blind men on the road to Jericho, scripture says, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight. The point is, Jesus healed people not only because he was able to, but because he wanted to. Jesus cared for those he created, and he showed it by restoring them to physical health. Isn't the same thing still true today? I mean, if you have a physical ailment, if your back is hurting, if your heart is going into arrhythmia, if the doctor has found a lump, if you're dealing with depression, isn't it comforting to know that Jesus knows, Jesus cares? You can bring your defective parts to him, and he has the ability to restore you to health. Now, does that mean he always does that? No. Sometimes Jesus uses our ailments to serve an even greater purpose. Sometimes he says to us what he said to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The bottom line is still the same. No matter what ails you, bring it to Jesus. He'll either heal it, or he'll give you the grace to deal with it. But now let's go back to Jesus' situation here in our text. Jesus had just spent the whole day, the Sabbath day, teaching in the synagogues. He drove a demon out of a man to the great amazement of the crowd. And after the whole day, he's ready to go home. He comes to the home of his friend, Simon Peter, probably wants to relax. But he can't. There's a problem. Simon Peter's mother-in-law is burning up with a fever. And so Jesus does something about it. First, the disciples come to him, of course. They immediately told Jesus about her. And he then does what? He went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Jesus expresses his love for her by healing her. And yet still he's not done for the day. When the sun goes down, that crowd of people we talked about shows up at Jesus' door. And he heals every one of them. Now, scripture doesn't tell us, like, how long did that take? How long was Jesus up? When could he finally put his head on a pillow? We don't know that. But scripture does tell us this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, like we'd say in the middle of the night, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place. To do what? Enjoy a little R&R. Take a hot bath. Get a massage. No, he went to a solitary place where he prayed. That's right. In spite of all the things that were going on, all the things he had to do, maybe, no, because of all the things he had to do, he made time to talk to his father about it. And just to make sure that it happened, he did it first thing in the morning. Before anything else on the schedule, right? Before the cell phone started to ring. Before the morning news came on. Before the kids start knocking on your bedroom door. Jesus took time with his Father. Could there be a lesson there for us? If we really want to do something important, we do it first. Now, maybe you are more self-disciplined than I am. Maybe you can carve out some time in the middle of the day for some Bible reading and prayer. And maybe you can relax before you go to bed by reading some scripture. But for me, if I don't take that time first thing in the morning, so often it just never happens. There's just too many other things to do. And other things that are good, helping other people, things that are urgent, but maybe aren't important. In fact, I wonder if maybe that's what Jesus was praying about to his Father. As he thought about all the things that he had to do, could it be that he was asking, Father, what do you want me to do? What is most important of all these missions that I have? What's most important? Now, we don't know what he asked, but if that's what he asked, we know what his father answered because he then shared that answer with the disciples. See, when Simon Peter comes and looking for Jesus, finds him and says, everybody's looking for you, Jesus. In other words, hey, there's more people you need to heal. What did Jesus say? Let us go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so I can preach there. That is why I have come, to proclaim the good news. Yes, to fulfill the good news. In other words, Jesus once again focused on his number one mission. Jesus came not only to serve the earthly needs of many, more importantly, he came to solve the eternal needs of all. Isn't that right? Even though Jesus spent a lot of time performing miracles early in his ministry, you recognize that all the things that he did only provided temporary fixes. The day after he fed the 5,000, those people were all hungry again. The skin that Jesus restored to health in those 10 lepers eventually got old and wrinkly and rotted off the bone. Lazarus, who Jesus called out of the grave, ultimately ended back up in there again. All those were temporary fixes. If all Jesus came to do was to provide people with some temporary respite from the consequences of sin in our world, we could admire him for that, but we couldn't worship him for it. We might call him the miracle worker, but he's not our Savior. But the fact is, Jesus came to fix more than temporary problems. Jesus came to solve the ultimate problem, our separation from God. But by living a perfect life in our place, by offering that perfect life on the cross, Jesus rescued mankind from sin. From the guilt of sin, from the power of sin, from the eternal consequences of sin. By focusing on that mission, Jesus kept his priorities straight. and helped us do the same. Isn't that right? When we realize that everything that God has done for us allows us to appreciate what's truly important. Whether it's the forgiveness of sins that Christ has won for us, whether it's the relationship to the Father that we have, whether it's the faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in us, or the need to continue to feed that faith with word and sacrament. All these things are what are important. In fact, isn't that something you see in the lives of the believers who have gone before us? Think, for example, of Mary and Martha. Right? Martha had this long to-do list. I got to sweep. I got to set the table. I got to make the meal. Mary had just one thing on her to-do list. Sit at Jesus' feet and listen to her Savior. And what was Jesus' response to those two ladies? He said to Martha, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, does that mean Mary shirked her responsibilities, sat on the couch all week? I doubt it. You see, when people make Jesus number one, they find ways to serve other people too. Wasn't that the case here in our text with Simon Peter's mother-in-law? I think it's interesting that all three Gospels describe this lady the same way. She has a terrible fever. She's burning up. Jesus touches her and heals her, and immediately she gets up and starts serving people. It's like she couldn't wait to show God how grateful she was for what he did for her by serving others as well. It's a both and. Let's face it. I expect we all have lots of things on our to-do list. And I pray that a lot of those things are about serving other people. But even when we aren't able to do everything we want to do, that's okay. We're still all right with God. Because even when we don't get our to-do list done, Jesus got his to-do list done. And he got it done for you and me, for time and for eternity. And that, my friends, is what's most important. Amen. Please stand.